Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music. Very well done. Now, if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 8. Revelation, chapter 8. Praise the Lord for the Bible. God has given it to us. It's His Word. He's preserved it. Even as we study this morning, I believe for the last 237 years, God has raised up America as part of His plan to preserve His Word for us today and to open the door for the church to accomplish what He has His church here to accomplish. What a blessing it is when we see those things, we understand those things. The Bible gives us everything that we can understand about eternity past. If we need to know it, if it can be understood, it's revealed in the Word of God, the Scriptures. It tells us where we came from. It gives us a purpose for why we have our existence. It also reveals everything about what's taking place today. What is God's will for our lives? What purpose do we have on planet Earth today? And it reveals everything about eternity future. The things that we need to understand, the things we can understand, is revealed to us in the Bible. And so it's a blessing to have the very words of God preserved for us. And we started out in the series just giving one message on each book of the Bible. And we went through the entire Bible, teaching on every book, helping us to understand what each book was there for. And then we got into the book of Revelation. We started taking our time breaking it down and teaching on the book of Revelation. The outline of the book of Revelations, and you can say there in chapter 8 or chapter 1 and verse 19, gives us the outline. It says, "Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." Chapter 1 reveals the things that he had seen. Chapters 2 and 3 reveals the present church age. Reveals the seven churches, and broken down over the last 2,000 years. We see what has taken place with the church during this 2,000 years of the church age so far. And then the third part of that is what we've been in now for several messages, and that is chapter 4 through chapter 22, the things which shall be hereafter. And God wants us to understand what will take place on this earth, and what will have to happen before the millennial reign of Christ, where righteousness will rule and reign on this earth. And then what will take place after that purpose for this earth. The earth will be destroyed, be burned up, and then that will usher in eternity in a new heaven and new earth. Glorified bodies, all the different things that are such a blessing to have in the back of our minds as promises as we go through some of the trials and the struggles of this life. God wanted us to know these things, so it's good to know them. Now, as we go through the book of Revelations, I'm a very practical preacher. I don't try to break everything down to where we have a lot of information that we can't use. When you go and buy a car, or they give you all, or buy a house especially, you know, you have a stack of information, this, and all you're doing is sign your name. Things you'll never use, hopefully. I guess there is a purpose there. But the idea there is, I just want to get in my house. I want to drive my car. With the Word of God, He gives us everything. But what's most important is application. It's not going to do us any good if we know the entire Word of God, could quote the whole Bible, and can't apply anything. That's no good. Got to break it down to where it's applicable. And so in the book of Revelation, that's what we've been doing. We've been going through and studying this. And again, if you're attending this church, you know that I am a very practical preacher. And I trust that God has sent you here because that's what kind of preaching that you grow by. That's what you want. That's what you need. And that hopefully will continue to do that. Even as we get into some of the very difficult chapters in the book of Revelation. After chapter 3, the church is raptured. You'll find that in chapters 4 and 5. The church is no longer there. After chapters 2 and 3, the seven churches of the church age is past. And then we find the rapture. We've been through some of that. Chapters 6 through 19 is the tribulation period. And we've studied a couple of the chapters, chapter 6 and chapter 7. We find that the judgment of God is revealed by the seven seals. During the tribulation period, there's going to be seven seal judgments. There's seven trump that lead into the seven trumpet judgments that lead into the seven vial judgments. All this is going to take place within the seven-year period when the church is at the judgment seat of Christ and in heaven, being adorned as the bride of Christ. The earth is going to be filled with the tribulations that is revealed here in the book of Revelation. As Jesus is the only one that could open up the seals for the judgments to begin. No man is worthy. And the only one that was worthy in heaven was Jesus Christ, who came to this earth and became a servant, became the sacrificial lamb, paid the price for sin. Now he will judge those that have rejected him. He opens the seven seals of the book of destiny, and we studied those seals leading into the seventh seal. And there was, chapter 7 was a pause, and there was a sealing of the 144,000 preparing for a future purpose that we'll be getting into later on as well. But they were 144,000 Jews, 12,000 out of 12 tribes of Israel. But now we get back into chapter 8, which reveals the seventh seal judgment and what it leads into. And so if you'll stand with me, we'll start reading here. We're only 13 verses. We'll read all 13 verses. Now it resumes the seventh seal of the seventh seal judgments. The Bible says, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascending up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it on into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. The seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. The second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. The third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. Third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so that the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, 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 to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of their of the other voices, of the trumpet, of the three angels, which are yet to sound." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you, we thank you, Lord God, for the truth that you have preserved for us through your word, and God, for your Holy Spirit that reveals the truth to us. Thank you for the opportunities we have to assemble ourselves together and preach and teach the word of God so that we might be strengthened by it. Thank you for all that are here tonight, and pray that you'd give each one of us an ear to hear what you have to say to us And God, help us not only to hear and understand, but grasp that which you have for us that we can apply. That which will encourage and strengthen and motivate us to continue to serve you and to live right and do right. Bless in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. God's judgments revealed in the seals, the trumpets, and then into the vials all are representing the judgments of God on this earth, and it will take place in the seven-year time period. Now, there's the different thoughts on just when each one and what's going to take place. I don't know that that matters. That's not something, again, I don't try to break every one of the judgments down. I just know within the tribulation period, and it will be ushered in with this idea of the peace and the Antichrist being established. We're going to see a little bit more of that as well. But the idea here is during this time, the church will be gone and God's judgment is going to be poured out during this tribulation. God's judgment is being poured out. And so we get into this seventh seal, which introduces these seven trumpet judgments that are going to be horrendous for all of those that are alive and remain on this earth. We have a glimpse of what will take place. But before these seven trumpet judgments sound, the Bible said that there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. Silence in heaven. To reverence God, what is about to happen. And Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 20, Habakkuk writes, he said, "The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him." It's getting ready to happen. All the prophecies of the judgments of God are getting ready to take place. I remember, of course, most of you know I come from a large family. I'm the youngest of seven boys, had six sisters, and had two sisters younger than I, but I'm the youngest of seven boys. And it was really like three different families because by the time we started getting old enough to know what was going on, the older ones were moving out. But I remember still having a full house. And having a full house, whenever one of the children done something wrong and dad come home from work, and it was revealed and everyone knew that they were going to get it. When dad came through the door and they already knew what was taking place, can I tell you, because of what was about to happen, there was silence in the house. Silence. Understanding what was about to happen, going to view it and didn't want to be a part of it. Amen. If he spoke out, you might be a part of the judgment as well. I mean, you might get yourself in trouble. But there was always, right before the judgment came, there was silence. Somewhat this very same thing. And honoring the father that was coming home to make the application and judge that which needed to be judged. We find in heaven there's been rejoicing all along and all the things taking place, but the church is in heaven. All the angels and heavenly creatures, and yet the Bible says before these judgments are poured out upon the earth and these trumpet judgments, there's silence. There's no rejoicing over the need to punish. God is not up in heaven, as some want to view God, with a ball bat just waiting for you to make a mistake so that He might hit you over the head. That's not the God that we serve. That's not the loving, compassionate God that sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross so that you would not have to pay for your own debt, your own sin. A loving Heavenly Father sent, made a tremendous sacrifice. Jesus made a tremendous sacrifice. Heaven made a tremendous sacrifice. When Christ came to this earth to become a sacrificial lamb, the one who created the heavens and the earth now has become a sacrificial lamb. so that they wouldn't have to be judged. So they wouldn't be here during that time. That's why He is the only one worthy to stand in judgment of the earth. He's the only one worthy to open up the seals that lead into the trumpet judgments. But it's not, the God that we serve is not a God who's just waiting for us to make a mistake. It's a God, and the angels are praying that you repent so that you not have to come under the judgment of God, but you can have the grace of God and experience the mercy. God always presents mercy before judgment. The opportunity to confess, the opportunity to be forgiven before the judgment. There's no rejoicing over the need to punish. But we can rejoice over what it produces. One of the hardest things that a loving parent will have to do is to discipline their children. Especially when they're little. Amen? Because they get these big crocodile tears in their eyes and they say some of the funniest and cutest things. And you want to laugh at them, but you know you can't laugh and then punish them at the same time. But no loving parent looks forward to spanking and disciplining your child. I think we ought to discipline with a tear in our eyes. Whenever God has to discipline His children, when we come under the chastisement, I believe there's tears in the eyes of God. It's not that He desires to chasten, desires to punish. But the child needs to realize, you put me as a parent in the position to where I have to judge you. I tried to get that across to our girls when we was having to discipline them. You know what you did wrong? You know what the Bible tells me as a father that I have to do? I don't want to do this. You put me in a position by your actions. As we look back at the nation of Israel, as we look through the Old Testament, we study the nation of Israel, the prophets would come and they would say, repent before you're going to force God to have to judge you. You're going to force God to have to raise up another nation that will come in, a heathen nation, but they will be raised up to come in and to take you into captivity. You don't want that. God does not want to have to do that. Repent. Look back to God. Receive the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness. And be restored in fellowship and do right. We see it over and over and over again in the Old Testament, so that ought to be a message to us today to realize God does not want to judge us. He does not want to punish us. He wants us to accept forgiveness and repentance and do right. There's no rejoicing over the need to punish, but we rejoice over what it produces. You find a disciplined individual, can I tell you that somewhere down the line they have been forced to be disciplined? Discipline helps your child to be self-disciplined. The fear of being punished in their hearts and their minds when the tempter comes and when they have that temptation to do that which would put you in a position to be punished, the pain, the remembrance of that punishment, the remembrance of that pain helps them to say, it's not worth it. I don't want to disappoint mom and dad because I know they love me. I don't want to go opposite what they want for my life. And I surely don't want to put them in a position where dad's going to have to spank me or punish me. And so it's not worth it. And you learn to discipline yourself so that you'll not be disciplined. Amen? Self-discipline. If you're going to be successful, you're going to have to be self-disciplined. You're not always going to have a parent there to tell you, don't do that. You're not always going to have somebody there telling you that's not going to help you in your position. That's going to be a hindrance to you. There's on and on and on, whatever. You have to learn to be self-disciplined so that you might be able to succeed as God wants us to succeed. Israel, they needed to understand. God says, this is what you have to do to have these blessings. And this is what, if you do this, you force me to do. If you do this, then you're going to put me in a position because I have to judge sin. There is a penalty for sin. For the wages of sin is death. There's a penalty for sin. When you discipline your children, can I tell you that's the most important thing you can do to get them to the place where they'll understand they have need to be saved. You understand why I got to spank you? Yes. Why? Because I didn't do this, or I did what you told me not to do. And because you did what I told you not to do, there's got to be a punishment. When you get to that place to get saved, you have to realize that I'm lost and I deserve punishment. I have a sin nature. I deserve what follows sin. The wages of sin is death. But yet, Jesus took my punishment for me. And He offers me through grace and mercy forgiveness. You're helping that child to come to the place of salvation. Come to the place of accountability. In order for this world to be ruled and reigned in righteousness, the millennial reign, there had to be the tribulation to rid the world. Outside of judgment, just think about it. If there was no consequence to sin, there's no consequences to stealing, if there was no consequences to going out and just doing what you felt to do, no matter what anybody else has rights, I don't care about their rights, I only care about my pleasure, what I want to do. If that person can bring me pleasure, I don't care what it's going to do to them, I'm going to be self-centered and I'm going to do and take what I'm big enough to do and take. And there's no consequences to that? If there's no law and order, you don't have a society. You don't have a civil society. There has to be a judgment of that which is wrong in order to produce a civilized society. For there to be a world that will be ruled and reigned by Christ in righteousness, the millennial reign, there had to be the tribulation. It's a fulfillment of what God says, this will take place. We have it written down. We're accountable. God has written it down. The judgments are coming. But before the judgments begin, there's silence. You can just tell the angels in heaven, all of heaven saying, it's coming now. I can just go back to that time I knew my brother was going to get it. I'm just thinking, it's coming. The only thing worse than that is when I knew I was going to get it. Oh, no. And I looked over there at him, and he's got this big smile on his face. Yeah, it's your turn. But there's silence. Silence in heaven. Verse 2. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Seven trumpets. A trumpet is something that needs to have air blown through it for the trumpet to make the sound. And it's a good trumpet player, and I don't know, but I just understand what it takes for it to work, has to have some pretty strong, healthy lungs. Sometimes they have to be able to continue to blow for a long period of time. And they work on that. And they have to have some strong lips in order to get the right kind of force of air into the trumpet. God chose that because of God's breath. God gave them these trumpets. He spoke the world into existence. He breathed life into man. He breathed or inspired all Scripture. The very breath of God is throughout the Scriptures. It's God who's going to do the judgment. He gives them a trumpet, these angels, for them to present God's trumpets, these judgments. Verses 3 through 6. Now, this is very important to see this. Before, again, we see the seven trumpets. We see that God gives it to them. But the Bible says that another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. The prayer of all saints. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire and the altar of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels, which had seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. So there's silence, the trumpets are revealed, and then the prayers of all the saints. Very symbolic as to God judging the world. Romans chapter 12, with that in mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 17. All the saints will be remembered by God as He prepares His judgments. All the saints, all the tragedies done to them, God keeps record of everything. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. You see, they're going to get by with it. Somebody's doing something to me and I'm not to do it back to them. You're letting their evil control you. No, God says, don't let their evil control you. Don't return evil for evil. If it be possible, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Can I tell you that God understands the judgments? He knows how He's going to judge. I, God, says, don't get caught up in vengeance. Let me handle it. I'm very capable of doing it. When you understand the tribulation period, you'll understand God's very capable of. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If thee thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. God says, don't let the evil come into your life and destroy your life. Let me handle vengeance. Can I tell you that vengeance belongs to God, but many are controlled by it. Can't get over it. Wanting somebody to pay. I think you need to study more of the judgments of God. Read and understand what God's given us concerning how He's going to judge and very clearly what He reveals, how He's going to judge the world. And before He judges, He'll have all the saints and their prayers. Because it's time for God to take vengeance. You see, when we try to take it into our own hands, it only makes a mess out of things. I remember the Old Testament story of Absalom. Now, you'll not have to turn there. Many of us know of the Old Testament. Many of you remember what had taken place. David's son, Amnon, raped David's other daughter, within his half-daughter, Tamar. But Tamar was Absalom's full sister. And Absalom told her not to say anything. And Absalom did not take it to David. Absalom, after he knew that Amnon had raped Tamar, he says, I am going to seek the vengeance. I'm waiting for the day. Vengeance belongs to me. And he did. A few years passed. But he never forgot. He's ate up with it. And he finally got the vengeance where he killed his brother and destroyed his own life and brought much evil into the nation of Israel. Satan got a huge victory. Vengeance belongs to God. Those who look to Christ are washed in the blood of Christ. So through Christ and His blood, because of what He's done for me, it can help me to forgive others. If you're not been coming to Sunday morning Sunday school, we're in a great series right now. And the theme of this series is, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In order to go through Christ, you have to be in Christ. If you're in Christ, then you have the ability to go through Christ. And through Christ, you can love the unlovable. And through Christ and the fruit that the Holy Spirit of God produces, His fruit of love is so much higher than your fruit of love. His fruit of forgiveness is so much greater than what you're able to forgive. His fruit of whatever it might be is so much greater. And so we have to just abide in Christ and yield to Him. And in Christ, I can go through Christ and I can forgive the unforgivable and I can love the unlovable and I can have the peace of God in doing what God would have me to do. But if you're not, not going through Christ, and you take it on yourself, well, you might have a temporary pleasure of getting even. You might have a temporary pleasure of seeking vengeance that'll destroy you and other lives. When you think about that, think about what's going to happen during the tribulation period. Think about taking vengeance in your own hands. Realize what God's getting ready to do, what God will do during the 7-year tribulation period, and just giving us a glimpse of how and what God will do in judging the lost and taking vengeance upon every tragedy that ever has taken place to a child of God's. Yeah. Go back, and we're very, very quickly here. Because these first four trumpet judgments are just in rapid succession. These things are going to hit the earth and just one right after the other, and there is going to be great tribulation. And so the Bible reveals that to us. The first judgment. The first angel sounded. There followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and there they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. A fierce storm. Don't know exactly what all. The Bible said a reddish color of hail and fire. There's many symbols in the book of Revelation, and I don't know that we really need to break it all down. It's left up to the imagination sometimes on what these things are. But the reality of it is, it destroys all grass and a third of all vegetation on this earth. That's the first judgment. The second trumpet sounds. It doesn't look like there's any time in between. I mean, the earth is going to feel the wrath of God. And vengeance belongs to God. And He has the prayer of all the saints and understands all that took place to the saints. The second angel sounded, and as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. Third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. It causes a great tidal wave, whatever you might think of what happens here. Many speculate that this could be a mountain-sized mass. It could be a mountain. It could be something coming down from space, whatever it might be, a meteorite or something burning with fire will be cast into some ocean, and it turns it into blood or a red-like blood color. Could have been actual blood. The creatures of the sea are dying. A third of all sea life and ships will be destroyed. Right after a third of all vegetation is destroyed, now we find that God's judgment and all. Can you imagine the chaos and all the CNN reports and what's taking place and everything around the world and all the fear of all the inhabitants of the earth. Doesn't stop there. Verse 10 and 11. The third angel sounded. There fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. A star from heaven, seen, experienced around the world, a meteorite sent to poison one-third of all fresh water on earth. Didn't stop there. One right after the other. Verse 12 and 13. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe. There's three more trumpets to sound. That's the three woes. To the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. The fourth trumpet was a third of the light is blocked out. Can you imagine the condition of the world? The fear that's going on across all the earth. And this is just the beginning. There's three more woes to come. Before the judgment, there's no rejoicing in judgment. But knowing what judgment brings, it had to be. God's very capable of handling vengeance, of judging those that need to be judged, and He will. As far as we're going to go tonight, the thing that we need to take with us here this evening is understand that God is very capable. I am going to let God handle the vengeance. I'm also going to be very glad that I'm not going to be part of this earth when it happens. We're going to have a view from above. Amen. And during this time, during the tribulation period on this earth, where this earth is going to be judged, in preparation for the millennial reign of Christ on this earth, we're going to be in heaven as a bride of Christ. What a blessing it is to know that. God has a way. And even if we look back in the Old Testament with the plagues that God brought down upon Egypt, when Moses was telling Pharaoh, God said, let my people go, how God protected Israel and then used judgment to judge the nation of Egypt to let His people. God is able to do that. God is an almighty God. Stand in reverence of Him. Stand in awe of Him. And whatever takes place, never lose sight of vengeance of mine. I will be. Let's focus on being more Christ-like. Let's focus on trying to help people to do right. And you're going to do that by giving an example of what's right to do. Praise the Lord for the strength that we have in Christ and for the truths that God's revealed to us that helps us to handle things in a biblical way. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. The book of Revelation reveals what will take place in the future. And God wants us to know these things so that we might have confidence and know for sure that God is in control and God will avenge. Where are you at tonight? Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? See, God always extends mercy before judgment. Once you receive the mercy of God, through the grace of God, have faith to receive Christ. As a born-again believer, you might have sin in your life that you're trying to block out and think that God's allowing it. God will judge sin. He's only given you some time. Time to do the right thing, confess and repent, and turn away from it. Giving you time to possibly look to the mercy of God before the judgment of God comes down. Chastening of God. Accept the mercy. By the grace of God, look to Him and accept the mercy. Do right. Father, we love You. Thank You for the truth of Your Word. Thank You for this book of Revelation that reveals to us future events so that we might know exactly what will take place and why it has to happen. I pray, God, that You would now help us to make whatever applications that we need to make individually to how You've spoken to us tonight. I pray that You'd bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.